What an awesome blessing it is today just to be in His presence, just to know Him. Amen. Just to know Him. But even greater than that, I tell Him all the time, God, I thank You that I know You, but even more than that, I thank You that You know me. Amen. You know who I am. You know what I am. You know where I'm at. Praise God. We've been talking ever since the first of the year, which I had plans of really preaching on starting the new year out with learning to receive from God, how to receive the blessings and things of God. Instead, ever since the first year, I've been preaching on get up and fight back. That's all I've been preaching on every Sunday. And I've been praying about that. God, why you got me on this line? Why do you got me? You know, I'm preaching to people that I've watched go through insurmountable odds and come through good. I'm preaching every Sunday to people that have been knocked down terribly and have gotten back up. And so I was asking the Lord this week, why you got me preaching like this? You know, to this congregation, because this congregation are fighters, they're warriors. They push through, and this is what He said to me. He said, because what I'm sending won't be received by the nonchalant attitude and spirit of people. In other words, you're going to have to fight for it. And you're going to have your mind made up. We're not just going to simply all of a sudden fall into this thing. And you're not going to win the lottery of the spiritual thing. You know, if any of you do in the natural, you got to pay on the gross, not the net. Your tithing needs to be on the gross, not the net. I want to clear that up. But a lot of us have that attitude today, in the spiritual attitude that, well, you know, if God wants me to have it, He'll give it to me. Well, I don't know where that attitude come from. I've battled it myself. I've actually said that, you know, God will get me to where He wants me to go. And the problem with that is only if I am intently seeking after where He wants me to get. Amen. Praise God. We're not just going to all of a sudden, you know, get a phone call from heaven and say, oh, by the way, I'm pouring everything out on you tomorrow and hope it doesn't inconvenience you too much. No. It's going to be because we have pursued, we have fought, we have stood, we've gotten back up when we've knocked down, we continue in the face of opposition, and mostly we continue in the face of us, because we are the biggest struggle that we have to deal with. A lot of people feel like other people are the biggest struggle. I got to tell you something. When God changes you, it seems like the whole world changes, because your reaction changes, and your reaction determines your success, not what people do to you. Not what happens to you. It's your reaction that determines your success. Amen. We were talking earlier about the way people, the responses and actions of people, even on the highways and in town, and road rage and all that kind of stuff. You see some of the most immature behavior out of adults, and it's just bizarre. It's bizarre behavior. It's almost, you know, if somebody turns and makes you have to get on your brakes, it's like you have been done wrong and offended because you had to use the brakes that were supplied to you for stopping. It's not like you had to create the brakes. You just simply had to use what was available. And that's the attitude of people today. It's like, all these conveniences have been given to us. Everything's been made easy for us. And we get upset because we have to use what has been provided for us. be nice. But in, when you're talking about the things of God, we can quote all day. You know, when we were, I'm just going to be real honest. When we were reading those declarations earlier, and the last several weeks, I've been standing in the back of church. I used to stand up here, and I'd read it, you know, and I wrote those. I put them up there, so I'm just into them because I live that. It's what I live. And I've been standing back to church, and by the time we get done with them, I'm thinking, everybody, it's like, oh, we finally got through that. If we really believe what we're saying, we would have a hard time getting through that. Because when we're praying about He will fill our needs to the full, if we really believe that, we would have a hard time getting on to the next phrase because we'd be saying, whoa, yeah, He fills my needs to the full. This week's going to get it. We're going to get it this week. Amen. Make Sister Pam work for it. Okay? Make her have to try to get through this thing. And then at the end, always, woo, you know, and I heard this. We're not believing. You need to grab hold of things like this. Don't look at this. Okay, I'm scolding you. I am. Don't look at stuff like this and just say, okay, that's just what we do on Sunday morning. No, the reason we do this on Sunday morning is we're trying to get it into our spirits. And we're trying to get it so into our spirits that it becomes part of our life and it becomes evident and manifest to the point that when we come here on Sunday morning and we start quoting that, it's like, I saw that this week. I experienced that this week. Woo! Amen. Come on, get pumped with me. I should have put that speech. Val sent me a speech from Rocky Balboa, from Stallone last week, and said this sums up your message. I should have played that today. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Praise God. That's my little motivational speech this morning. Amen. Therefore, verse 1, Amplified. This is how the Amplified, what's that C stand for? Classic. Thank you. I want to make sure we understand that. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Praise God. We have the peace. How many can say, I've got the peace of reconciliation? Are you at peace with God today? Amen. Is everything settled? You at peace with God today? Are you at peace with God today? I'm going to give an altar call right now because it doesn't sound like we're at peace with God. Sounds like we got some problems here. Are you, when I say, are you at peace with God, and you go, you know, that's not good. We have to enjoy and to hold on to peace with God that is impossible for us to have, except Jesus did the impossible and gave it to us. And so we have the peace, we can hang on to it. We can hold it, and we can hold on to it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, through Him also we have our access, entrance, and introduction by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's our theme. That's what we desire. That's what we want. Praise God. Every Sunday morning when the worship team gets up here and begins to play music and sing song, our desire is not just to have some good music. Our desire is not to get some goosebumps. Our desire is from the time we start. When Sister Pam gets up here and reads the announcements, our desire is to experience the glory of God. Amen. Our desire is to experience His presence to a point that it changes my life. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need my life changed all the time. Praise God. Anytime, what was it you said this morning, Rob? Something about learned and learn. Right. If you are learning, you will continue to be successful. If you have learned, then you'll only complain and talk about the changes. Does that define how old we are? Amen. I get frustrated sometimes with the new world that we're living in. My 2-year-old granddaughter can operate my phone better than I can. She was making videos the other day with pictures and movie and songs on them. I can't do that. Now some of y'all can, thank you. But I thought, man, I need to learn how to do that. My 2-year-old granddaughter was taking photos off of the picture, off of the phone, and making a video out of them and adding music to them. And the only way we knew she was doing that because all of a sudden we heard music. And Natalie went over and checked to see what she was doing. She was making a video of the family with music. 2 years old. That's changing way too fast. Grandpa is lost. And when I don't do it right, she gives me the, "Papa!" It's like, you know, get with it, man. We can either complain about what's going on, or we can get involved and see the success of the power and presence of God. It's up to us what we do. Amen. We can either complain about it or we can make it work for us. Amen. It's kind of like us sitting around and complaining about getting a paycheck. You know, today they got this deposit thing. I don't do it, but where they deposit your paycheck right in the bank. It would be like complaining about the fact that your company deposits your check every Monday morning in the bank and you're not getting to hold it. You still got the money. Boy, that fell flat. Need to find another illustration there. But when we understand that the gospel has survived, this is not where I was going. Okay, Holy Spirit's going to take us somewhere. The gospel has survived for over 2,000 years through change after change after change after change. The body of Christ has evolved in so many ways. I mean, we have evolved in ways that, you know, some of it isn't good and some of it is very good. Amen. Some of it is really good, and some of it is really bad. But it continues. This is what I like about the gospel. It keeps writing itself. It keeps, whenever we get off balance, the gospel and the Holy Spirit always seems to be able to get us back on track and always seems to be able to incorporate itself into the environment that it's in. Amen. I've been in a lot of different environments in my life. And I've watched the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and incorporate that into that environment. When you look at Paul's teaching in the New Testament, he deals with a lot of cultural issues. You know, when he says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, he was dealing with cultural issues because Jesus had long hair. But he was preaching in an area where long hair was not acceptable. The Romans are the ones that started cutting their hair off, having short hair. And so when you understand that a lot of cultural things, but I grew up in a church where that was the dominant doctrine. Amen. We specialized. We specialized in style. We had preachers that would wait until everybody got there and decide who was doing something or wearing something they didn't like, and they would preach their whole sermon on that person. I watched it over and over. I sat in a service one time and listened to an old-time Pentecostal preacher preach on women wearing these big earrings when there was only one woman in that church had these big loop earrings on. And I thought to myself, you have just not only offended that woman, you have just wasted an awesome experience. Amen. So when we get hung up on what was and demand it to be what is, then we lose what's going to happen and what will be. And I am preaching to myself because I'm that way. You know, I'm very, you know, I have certain things. And I don't change those things very often. I'm wearing the same clothes I wore 10 years ago. No, I'm not, because I was 20 pounds lighter 10 years ago. Anyway, I haven't changed much, to a lot of people's dismay. You know, I know I need to upgrade, but I know I'm supposed to fit in today as a really cool preacher. I'm supposed to be wearing casual clothes, fancy casual clothes, okay? And I just haven't been able, I can't spend the money on it. You know, it's like, you know, this is what I got in the closet. It don't have holes in it. I'm going to keep wearing this, you know, as long as I can get it on, which seems to be a challenge. I just got to start inspecting them a whole lot better. You know, the fainting goat thing I did the other day? Y'all remember that? I have no idea where that come from. It just happened. Sometimes that happens. And after it was over with, I went up to Lamar to preach on a Wednesday after Sunday morning. I took the same pair of pants with me for Wednesday night that I wore Sunday morning. I am so glad that I did not do the fainting goat that morning. Because I got up there, I went to get dressed, went to put my pants on, and the whole backside was ripped out of those pants. You think me doing the fainting goat illustration was funny? That would have been even worse. So I was really cool that night because I wore the same clothes that night to preach in that I wore to get up there, just jeans and a shirt, and I fit in. Praise God. It was really neat because all the kids liked me. I received a picture the other day of that and of the altar call from the back of the church, and it was so awesome because on a Wednesday night, the entire front of the church during the altar call was packed from wall to wall, from pulpit to front seat, completely full of people responding to the altar call, wanting to break the oppressive power of the enemy in their life. Praise God. What an awesome thing. But I am seeing... We get so stuck in, say, I received a message. I should have brought my phone out here, but if I would have, somebody would have called it. I learned not to do that a long time ago. I whipped my phone out as an illustration one Sunday morning, and next thing I know, my phone is ringing like crazy. A bunch of smart alecks in here started calling me. But I received a prophetic word from a friend of mine, David Killingsworth, that pastors down in Green Forest, Arkansas. Good man. And he had a declaration, a word that God gave him, and it said that there is a move of God coming to this country that is greater than the Pentecostal outpouring in the early 1900s. But he said, be careful that we don't become the persecutors of the move of God and make sure that we are the participants of the move of God. Oh, how important is that? If we're not careful, we will not be the participants, we will be the persecutors, because every move of God is always persecuted by the former move of God. Isn't that the way it goes? Yeah. And we have problems with, we find issues with something, and we think if we find an issue with something that we got the right to tear it apart. I got to tell you something today. We need to quit being issue-based people, and we need to start searching after God and trying to find God and trying to hear the Word of God and stop picking at each other and trying. We in Missouri, we are the show-me state. Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, this whole four-state area is like this. If somebody, if God begins to move in their life, people immediately start dissecting them until they find something they don't agree with, and at that moment, they throw the whole thing out. And they turn on them, and now the internet lights up with all the false, he's a false God doctrine and all this kind of stuff. I understand if he's in gross sin, we don't accept that. But just because we can find one little thing that we don't agree with, that does not give us the right to throw out what God's doing. Amen. I was amazed. I don't want to get political, but I was amazed during the political deal when Donald Trump was running. And God told me several years ago in 2012 that he was going to be the president. And I tried to encourage everybody in that. But, you know, we couldn't get over the fact that his personality is a little bad. And the way he combs his hair. And his hands is too small. And his tie's too long. And he doesn't button his jacket just right. And then I started watching the church start ridiculing him like they were trying to pick a pastor for their congregation. He's a world leader, not a pastor for your congregation. And I thought to myself, God help us. The church has become so pitiful that we are more interested in our little likes instead of being able to see the big picture and see what you're doing. I did not intend on preaching on this morning. I have, look, you can see it. I've got pages of notes here, but we ain't going there. I've been trying to preach this message for 4 weeks. It's going to be a good one when it finally comes out. But we have got to start embracing the joy of the experience of what God is doing today. We've got to quit hanging on to what used to be. We've got to quit trying to relive our glory days and realize that there are new glory days that are coming, and we've got to embrace those glory days. Amen. We've got to quit being addicted to our atmosphere. We are so addicted to our atmosphere. This is what the atmosphere was like when we had a move of God. Well, I got to tell you something. God has all kinds of atmospheres. Amen. I have been in little villages where the atmosphere was not conducive to the glory of God. And yet I've seen people saved. I've seen demons cast out. I've seen miracles take place in an area that was not conducive to the presence of God. And yet God changed the atmosphere. Amen. Excuse me if I get a little excited today. Hallelujah. If there was a chandelier in here, I'd be swinging from it. I guarantee you. Look out for these fans and lights. I might be swinging from them here in just a minute. Why? Because I have an anticipation. I have a hope. I know for a fact that I have fought the fight. I've stood strong. I've continued. I've tried to be faithful. You have tried to be faithful. You've stood the test. You're still here. You fought back when the enemy tried to put you down, tear your life apart, but you fought back. You should have so much hope in your heart today. Why? Because He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's not going to leave you orphans, but He's going to make, He has made you His child. We are not orphans. Hallelujah. And we got to quit looking for our atmosphere. And we got to start saying, God, I just want to see Your presence. I want to see Your glory. God, whatever the atmosphere is like, I don't care, as long as it's charged with You. Amen. Growing up through the centuries that I've lived in, seems like centuries and centuries. I've seen so many changes in the church, in the body of Christ, and I've helped lead a lot of those changes, which makes you very unpopular when you're an agent of change. And I've helped make a lot of changes in the body of Christ. Hey, several years ago, there wasn't a preacher around that had a goatee like this, and I grew one and made everybody mad. I got ridiculed, made fun of. I ran into one of the preachers that made fun of me the other day. He's got one just like me. It's even white like mine. I walked up to him and I said, man, you looking good. I remember when I started leading change in praise and worship, we went from song service to praise service. Oh my, what a change. Oh, it was fraught with anger and rebellion on both sides. And there was people that hated this and hated that, and I don't like that. And you know, it's like we built a pastored a church for about 6 years down here, Cedar Valley Church, that God's reunited us with lately. And I started out in this little schoolhouse building that a lot of people had. A lot of people that went to church there actually went to grade school in that building. So a lot of history there. I'm not against history. But when you let it run down to the point that it's irreparable, you got to build a new church. And thus I showed up. I can't just stand and watch something not work. Amen. Oh, I've been frustrated the last several years, but we're going to see this thing. We're going to see it work. And so, with God's help, and against a huge amount of resistance, we built a new church. Because God showed it to me the first Sunday I preached there. I saw a vision of it. I knew what it looked like. It looks exactly today like it did when the first Sunday I drove up there and preached. That's what it looked like. And it's there, paid for, in 5 months. We built it and paid for it and never borrowed any money. Amen. I'd say God's doing something when that happens. Amen. And the very people that told me that it would never happen ended up letting go of the money to finish it. Why? Because we pushed through. Brother Everett was on the board during that time. God bless you, man. He was tough. He stood with me. I mean, through thick and thin. He stood strong and he kept pushing through. Just a new convert. It should have just ruined him on church, but it didn't. He just stayed in there. Not only stay in there, his whole family got saved, and thank God for that. But when we moved into the new church, I heard so many people say, the anointing of God is just not in this new building. It was in the old church. But it's not in this building. I would hear them talking. My office was real close to the entryway, and as people would come in, in my office, I could hear them talking out in the entryway. They didn't know I could hear them, but I could hear them, and they'd be talking about, well, we built this thing, but God sure isn't here. Yeah, what was it? Their atmosphere. They wanted their atmosphere. And they couldn't separate the presence of God from their atmosphere. God help us today. I'm getting close to 60, and I've been praying, God, don't let me become one of those old preachers that fight everything that moves because I get set in my ways. And I can get set in my ways. Sister Betty kind of laughs at me because we go to a restaurant. If any restaurant we go to, I have one thing on that menu I like, and that's what I order every time. I don't even have to read the menu because I like that. There's no reason to read the menu because that's what I like at that place. Man, you can get like that, can't you? You know, get really set in your ways and stubborn. And I've been praying, God, don't let me get stubborn like that in spiritual things. Help me to constantly evolve in your presence and not get to the point where I want my atmosphere instead of your presence. Amen. Praise God. I moved the piano one time from one side of the church to the other, and oh, you'd have thought I had grieved the Holy Spirit. And people come up to me and said, I don't like what you did with that piano. And this one woman come up to me and confronted me, and she said, I have always sit on the side that the piano was on because I liked to sit there for praise. I said, lady, we don't charge any more for those seats. It's still 10% tithe over there. I don't understand what the problem is. Move. There's the piano. Woo! But we get used to stuff like that, don't we? And anything that challenges what we're used to, we quickly deem as being wrong or lacking. Oh, come on, somebody. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We need this. I remember when we started changing stuff here to praise and worship. And I was assistant pastor at that time. And boy, it was a rough change. And we started singing more choruses and stuff. And I tried to do the thing of one song in the red hymnal and then a few choruses and one song in the red hymnal. And, you know, I tried to balance it for a while. It didn't work because the people that liked the red hymnal complained about the fact that we brought choruses in, and the people that liked the choruses complained that we brought the red hymnal in. And so there was no winning this thing. And so finally, I just made a decision. And we moved forward, and we boxed up all the red hymnals, and God left the house. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And then we started singing praise songs, and we got used to the praise songs. Woo, we could really get into it, you know. We got singing praise songs. And then we started discovering worship. Worship. Just give me a break. It's worship. That's just how it is. It's worship. And so we started discovering worship, and we had a baby grand, I don't know why I'm going into all this stuff, but it's good for us. We had a baby grand piano that sat right over here. Thing was a nightmare. It was possessed of the devil. It was really pretty, but the temperature fluctuations in this building between services wreaked havoc on that thing, and it was always out of tune. And we constantly had to have somebody come in and tune it. He'd bring his little fork in and
ding, 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 ding. Bing, ding, 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 ding. Constantly. To the point that the adjustments wore out so bad that it wouldn't even hold the strings because it had been tuned so many times. And so we made another decision. We sold the grand piano. And I bought a digital piano that sounded better than the grand piano. And we moved it up here on the platform. And it looked like this tiny little thing, you know. We used that beautiful grand piano. And now we got this little digital thing. But it was recorded. The notes on it was recorded from one of the most expensive grand pianos there was. So it had this it had the best sound. Awesome. Again, God left. Man, he has departed. Ichabod has been written over the door of this church so many times. It's awful. I had people come up, and it was almost like they were grieving.
Where's God?
Over a piano. And you couldn't make people happy. It didn't matter what I did, they wasn't happy. Somebody was mad. Everything you do, somebody's mad. That's where pastors have to learn group dynamics. You got to learn group dynamics. Group dynamics is this. Some are going to be really excited. Some are going to be really angry. And some just really don't care. And you got to work with all three groups. And one minute somebody's patting you on the back and saying, "Whoa, I like that piano. I like that new piano." And you go over here and somebody else is grabbing you by the shoulder and saying, you have damaged the move of God. You have grieved the Holy Spirit. And then you get over here and talk to these people and they say, "Leave me alone. I'm just here because I don't want to go to hell. And I was taught I have to go to church to do that. I really don't like you, preacher. Just leave me alone." You got to work with all three groups and somehow give God glory in the middle of all of it. And so I went up and sat down behind that piano because I found out it had demos. And I sat down behind it and kind of limbered my fingers up like this. And punched one of those demos and started acting like I was playing. And you heard a gasp go through there. I didn't know he could play. And so I hit this one demo, and it was the old classic type sound. And after it's over with, I raised my hand and said, "How many like that?" Some people raised their hand. "Yeah, that's my, yeah, yeah." And so I hit another demo and started acting like I was playing. They couldn't see because I was sitting behind the piano, started acting like I was playing. I said, "How many like that?" You know, it was a kind of a country sound. "How many like that?" "Yeah, that's, woo, I feel God." And I hit that organ, you know, black gospel crusade sound. That's my sound, but I hit that, and some people's going, "Oh, yeah, woo, that's it." And I played all those demos, and somebody in the congregation liked every one of them. And after I got through, I stood up and I said, "How do you think that we are ever going to make you all happy? Because none of you like the same sound. But we're not here to give you a sound. We're here to raise praise to Jesus. We're here to bring glory and honor to His name. And if we don't like the sound, then you have got to learn what every child of God has to learn, and that's to push through what you like and don't like and somehow get in the presence of God and bring glory and honor to Him. Amen. I absolutely cannot stand rap music, but I guarantee you, if I was somewhere where they was praising the Lord in rap music, I would somehow find a way to get to the presence of God. Why? Because it's not about my atmosphere. It's about His presence. It's not about what I like. It's about what He's doing. And if I can get past my atmosphere and get into His presence, people are going to receive, and there's going to be manifestation of the presence of God in that place. I've seen God move in India where the music is so weird that it makes you feel like you're on a distant planet somewhere and having an out-of-body experience. Am I telling the truth, Tam? I mean, it is weird. They don't have drums like we have. They got a drum that goes boom, 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 boom. I mean, it's strange. And they say, and it literally, when you show up at a crusade with thousands of people and you're having jet lag so bad you feel like you're on heroin, whatever that feels like, I mean, you literally feel like you can't function because you got jet lag so bad that you literally feel like you're on drugs. And you show up and you're there to be the anointed man of God to preach the word, and you're standing there like this. Because you're having jet lag so bad, and this drum's going boom, boom, boom. They hit it and then slide their hand. Boom, boom. And then all this high sounding music. They got guitars. But they don't know how to play the top strings on the guitars. They don't have basses over there. They play these high notes. You know, and you're having jet lag so bad you can't hardly stand it. You feel like you're on drugs, and this strange music is playing, and you're standing there just weirded out of your head, and they announce, Brother Snyder from America is coming to bring the Word of God. And you step to the pulpit like this. And you're supposed to preach in that atmosphere. And people are supposed to be saved in that atmosphere. And if we are addicted to our atmosphere, we won't be able to get anything done because we won't think God's even there. But when you can push through all that and get up and preach the word and then watch God move and see people respond and get saved when they know they're going to be persecuted and cast demons out of people and see sick and broken bodies healed, and it wasn't your atmosphere, then all of a sudden you realize that God doesn't care about my atmosphere. He cares about people, and He's going to show up anywhere we want Him to because we've sought Him. Amen. You go to Africa with me. Some of y'all said, man, I want to go to Africa. I'm not sure you want to go to Africa with me, because you go to a service in a village and they will sing and dance for 3 hours while you sit there not knowing what's going on. You don't understand any of the words, any language. You just know they're having a really good time. It can be so boring without God. But when you have the presence of God in your heart, you can't help but stand there. A lot of times tears running down your face, just realizing I am in this strange, strange place, and God's here. And He's fixing to do some awesome stuff. And by the time they get through with 3 hours, some people, you know, we sing two or three songs, and some people's like, all right, let's get this over with. got places to go. 12 o'clock. We ain't getting out till 12 o'clock. We've been here 2 hours. Nope. We've been here an hour and 15 minutes. Because that's how late some of y'all are. We start at 10. Come on, somebody. But for many of us, church don't start till 10:15 or 10:20. So you have not been here 2 hours. You cannot complain. Okay? I start Sunday morning very early, and I enjoy it. Amen. Praise God. I can't wait to hear myself preach. Just joking. That's actually the part that I dread most anyway. We gotta stop putting God in a can, especially in this area. We've got to stop putting God in a can. We got to stop saying, oh, this is how God's going to do it. This is how God's going to do it. This is how God's going to do it. You know, I'm not against people that have been successful. I love them. You know, Pastor John Kilpatrick's going to be back in the area here pretty soon. That man has blazed a trail when it comes to revival in places that is hard to bring revival. And he's blazed a trail. He's been a warrior. And I give him all kinds of respect and honor. Don't even feel like I have a hard time even looking up when I'm in his presence, because I feel like I don't even have the right to be next to him, because he's done so much more than I have, seen so much more. And yet I told some pastors the other day, I said, guys, listen, I said, I love Brother Kilpatrick. I love all the guys that come here. We need them to come in here, because they keep us going. They keep us looking forward. But I said, the real move of God is going to happen out of the people that are praying and seeking God. And the real revival, the real awakening that's going to happen in this area is going to start in the prayer room. And it's going to emerge out of that. And it's going to be people that nobody's heard of that are suddenly going to be moving in the presence and power of God. We've got to understand that God is not going to do anything the way we think it should be done. He's, matter of fact, he's going to do it just opposite of the way you think it should be done. So you can't take credit for it. Amen. I didn't even have a post-it note today, Sister Pam. And I'm already out of time. She told me one time all I had was a post-it note for my notes. And she said, how can anybody get that much out of a post-it note? But we've got to break through. We've got to break through our atmosphere. We've got to break through what we demand it to be like. Amen. I mean, we've tried to have intercessory prayer, and I've seen people end up in a fight in intercessory prayer meeting because some wanted music and some didn't. And they were so strong about it that I've had to break up arguments in prayer meetings. Matter of fact, I had to come over this church one night having a prayer meeting, and people got into it over music or no music. And we had to stay here until we repented and prayed through because there were such bad attitudes. I mean, it wasn't everybody. It was just a few people that was agitating and had this strong attitude that if I'm going to pray, I can't have music going. And it's not of God. And the other side saying, if I'm going to pray, I've got to have music to bring me into the presence of God. What are we doing? We're putting God in a box and saying, look, there's only one way that I can do it. And God's looking down at you and saying, I didn't know you were doing it. Come on now. I didn't know it was up to you. I thought you were just trying to yield to me so that I could do something. Come on, somebody. Oh, boy, this is good. It's good preaching. Praise God. That's a really good message right there. I'm going to get that preached one of these days. It's really good. I get fired up just reading the notes. But Holy Spirit's wanting us to understand something today. What God is doing in our day, we're going to have to be able to bend to His will. Preaching to the choir. You got it, buddy? You listening to me? You're going to have to be able to bend to the will of God. And that's talking to somebody that can't even tie his shoes. I mean, I don't bend. Some people's told me over the years that my wife has told me this. Matter of fact, you're the stubbornest man I've ever met. Of course, she said it in such a nice way that it made me feel like I was getting a compliment. But people's told me that for years. You know, you're just stubborn. It's not stubborn. Well, maybe a little bit of it is, but it's the fact that I learned early on in my life that if I was going to get from point A to point B, I had to look past all the stuff that tried to stop me from getting to point B. And I had to just keep pushing. I had to just keep pushing, which along the way you make a lot of mistakes and you push a lot of people out of the way that was just there to help you. Yeah. But the main thing is I got to get to point B. And I can't let anything stop me from getting to point B because I have an assignment. I have an assignment from God. Everything that we've ever done at this church has been through opposition and fight. Amen. I've been senior pastor here 24 years. God help you. I mean, you're stubborn. You're just like me. You stayed. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Give me a high five. Thank you. Woo! I felt that. Yeah. But the only reason that I've been here 24 years is because I just simply didn't allow things to push me out of the way. Not because I was always right. Because I wasn't. I think it's a shirt that Damon wore one time that I'm not arguing, I'm just trying to get you to understand why I'm right. Wasn't it you had a t-shirt like that or something? I forget what it was. But you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be right all the time. But God doesn't bless people that are right all the time. God blesses people that are faithful and who stick with it. Even when you fall on your face, you get back up and you take the criticism, you take the reproach, but you keep going. People might be throwing rocks at you, but you got to get up and just keep going. Because those rocks hurt. Amen. I mean, they hurt. But you got to feel the pain and keep pushing. Why? Because when God gives you an assignment like He's given us at this church, when God gives this area an assignment from Springfield to Harrison, Arkansas, when God gives this area an assignment like He's given us, it's going to be pushed through, fought through, and it's going to get here simply because people refused to stop and sit down. And suddenly, it's going to happen. The observers are going to observe that suddenly there was a move of God that broke out. But the participators are going to be wore out with their clothes tore off to shreds, their hair messed up, and they're going to be standing there saying, Finally. Amen. Praise God. Are you ready to get out of your atmosphere? Get in the atmosphere of the Lord? I was thinking this week about along these lines. I'm getting ready to go to the Philippines. It's a totally different atmosphere than anywhere else that I go and preach. It's a very laid-back atmosphere. Very laid-back atmosphere. They don't get in a hurry about anything. They don't know what 7 o'clock in the morning means. It can mean tomorrow at 7. Literally. I mean, it's totally out of my comfort zone. Even though it's very relaxed, it's a neat place to go. Amen. Because most of the time we wear sandals and shorts and a t-shirt. I mean, that's the wardrobe. That's the priestly phylacteries that you adorn. And we're going to be preaching in different places and riding in the backs of trucks and you know, people are going to be this tall to me. I am a giant in the Philippines, literally. I want to take Kevin Reich to the Philippines so bad I can't stand it. I mean, he's a giant. And just to unfold him out of the vehicle and watch him stand up where grown-ups are this tall would be awesome. I'm going to get him there one of these days. But in that atmosphere, you'd think, well, that would be easy. No, sometimes it's harder to get motivated and push through in an atmosphere like that than it is anywhere. And I was thinking this week, I've got to adjust myself to accept the atmosphere so that I can minister effectively. Amen. Stand with me today if you would. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to start ending these sermons like T.D. Jakes ends them. We need the organ music and everybody shout, woo! You know, and all that stuff. I have a tendency to run out of air and just... But how many understand that God's changing you and He's getting us ready for something that He's doing right now? It's happening right now. Matter of fact, there has been a door opened, an effectual door opened for the gospel. Not only around this world, but in this country. And we're going to see a push and a pull to the presence of God around this world that we haven't seen before. It's just the church has to adjust ourselves to the atmosphere we live in and be able to bring the presence of God into this atmosphere. Amen. Praise God. How many believe you can do that? Through the power and presence of God. All the Muslims flooding into this country, what the church in America needs to be doing instead of being afraid, which it's scary, it is, because that most of them mean us harm. Most people in the United States do not understand because they've never been out of this country. When you've been out of this country and you've lived around there, you realize their mentality is totally different. They have no aversion to killing you. Absolutely none. Flooding in here. But if the church could really get a hold of God's presence, what we would be saying is, woo, God's bringing us a mission field. Let's preach the gospel. Let's preach the gospel. Amen. Let's reach out to them. Let's somehow impact them. Let's pray and pray and pray until the glory of God shakes the Allah out of them. Where we can introduce them to a God that loves them and will change their lives.